Can we take a call?
Yes, I'm ready to take as many calls as you have. I hope people are listening in this first time.
I hope they are, too. We're going to take the first caller that we have here. You are on the air, yes.
Hello, it's James calling from California. It's very nice to be on with two special friends of mine, Karen Katowski and Stephen Snigowski. Steve, I just wanted to bring up some key aspects and maybe have Karen comment as well. We just talked earlier before you came on the show, and I think before we talk about the possibility of a coming war with Iran, which the neocons have been pushing, but also AIPAC, you know, the pro-Israel lobby AIPAC, which Dennis Ross has been associated with the Washington Institute on Near East Policy. Cheney was actually at a press conference earlier today. I think it was at the National Press Club or something. Last week he was at the American Enterprise Institute, the bastion of neoconservatism, as we know.
Absolutely.
Pushing the neocon-inspired torture that we had at Abu Ghraib and at Gitmo, probably coming right from Israel with their Israeli friends, you know, with the Israeli torture tactics that were used. But anyway, today Cheney he basically gave away the motivation for the Iraq war, and it fits what Deeb conveys in the transparency of all with regard to Israel. Well, this is what he said. He was asked about Iraq, and did he believe, I'm paraphrasing, of course, and did he still believe it was legitimate that we went in there? And he came back, and one of the first things out of his mouth, he said that Saddam Hussein was supporting terrorism, and he said that Saddam was sending $25,000 to the families of Palestinian suicide resistance bombers against Israel. That was one of the first things that came out of his mouth when he was asked about justifying the Iraq war. So I don't know how anybody else takes that, but to me it certainly sounds like we went to war to prevent suicide bombings against Israel, so close to 5,000 Americans are dead, and thousands more maimed and wounded, to prevent suicide bombings in Israel. I mean, it sounds like a war for Israel to me.
He said that. That's interesting, yeah, because, I mean, it was common knowledge that Saddam Hussein was one of the big supporters of the Palestinian cause, and more so even than the very wealthy Saudis, which, of course, are in our pocket. But he was kind of an Arab nationalist leader, and I think certainly financially was helping the Palestinians. There's no doubt about that. That was not a secret.
And it really fits what Steve conveys in his transparent cabal with regard to the Iraq war.
When people say those things, the mainstream media doesn't pick up on them, though, does it?
Exactly.
You're not going to see Joe Scarborough commenting on it tomorrow morning, are we?
Definitely not. Most definitely not. And you know what, Karen, you made an interesting point, too, how this was all out in the open and how Steve's book is fitting in terms of a cabal and also a network, as you put it. Where I think you can have a conspiracy, if you want to call it that, is how our media, the media coverage. I mean, I could just think of recent events, the dismissal of this AIPAC espionage case, which you knew Larry Franklin, who's still in jail over that. I remember when you were working at the Pentagon with him, or in close association with him, I believe. And so that case gets dismissed, right? We hardly had any coverage on it when it was through its duration. Gets dismissed, hardly gets mentioned in our media. And then you have the Jane Harmon situation, right? Which she was I mean, that whole thing with AIPAC and how she was ready to push to possibly work to get that case dismissed, that doesn't make it into our media for the most part. I wanted to touch on here quickly, and Steve, if you could also bring up the situation I went through with Norman Finkelstein, who is, he's talked about how the pro-Israel lobby plays a major role with the policy with the settlement building in the West Bank, and how the U.S. basically allows that to go on. Obama's taken a line recently with Hillary Clinton to try to stop any new settlements, and of course Netanyahu is completely ignoring that, because he conveyed in one of the Israeli newspaper articles, or via that article, Haaretz, I think, that, the U.S. Congress is owned by the pro-Israel lobby. And that basically validates the Mercer on Wealth book that Karen mentioned here earlier. But the thing is, you were talking about a war with Iran and also the possibility of that. And Pat Buchanan had an excellent segment on Washington Journal yesterday talking about AIPAC and the USS Liberty and all that. But you had said something about if Ahmadinejad doesn't get elected, and Buchanan said that was a key factor whether this war is going to happen or not. You said even the other leader that might come into power, the neocons and the pro-Israel media, could demonize as well. It's not going to really make much difference.
Yes, well, I really have faith in their power to demonize people.
Sure,
so
sure.
Even Ahmadinejad really didn't say the things that the media attribute to him. The idea of wiping Israel off the map, that this would be, he's thinking of some type of nuclear holocaust that Iran would perpetrate. That's not the meaning of what he said at all, and the Iranians have said again and again, would never attack, launch a nuclear attack on Israel. What he meant by that was that the Zionist state at some future day would vanish, because the Iranians, like I think almost all the Arab states, are against the Zionist state. Now Ahmadinejad has actually said if the Palestinians so desire, he would accept a two-state solution. He has openly said that. So when they focus on the, you know, the, that he's going to bring about a nuclear holocaust, et cetera, that in itself is is false.
Mistranslation.
Well, of course, we know that that's propaganda, because, I mean, when we hear the pro-Israel crowd here in America, the Jinza crowd, the Jewish Institute for National Security Affairs, and even Colin Powell had said for Washington Post correspondent Karen DeYoung's biographical book about him that the Jinza crowd was in control of the Pentagon. I mean, what more do you need than that? And Karen was at the Pentagon and saw them working firsthand with Douglas Feith and company at the Office of Special Plans. And anyway, Karen's also mentioned in James Bamford's A Pretext for War book, too, which was great. But, you know, this seems to fit what the neocons did with Iraq and how they had the Bush regime cut off the support for the Palestinians and all that, especially after Hamas was elected democratically in a free and open election. It just doesn't seem to fit the clean break agenda that Bamford also discussed in Pretext for War, and you can read more about it at that website, neoconzionistthreat.com. It's linked on the right side there. Don't you think that even though Iran isn't mentioned specifically, it still fits with regard to taking down the enemies of Israel and dissolving any...
Oh, yes. Before 2003 attack on Iraq, the people like Podoretz and Elliot Cohen and others, but Podoretz and Elliot Cohen were using the term World War IV.
Sure.
Iraq would only be part of this war. It was to be fighting all of these allegedly terrorist states. Of course, they were also, and very important, significantly, they were enemies of Israel. So Syria and Iran and Saudi Arabia. Michael Ledeen also brings this out, you know, in his book, The Terror Masters.
Thanks, Jim. You've made a lot of good points, and I appreciate that. One, you mentioned a clean break document, and of course, in the book, in Dr. Snegowski's book, The Transparent Cabal, Steve, you do go through the clean break document, I think in some detail, and it's really interesting because this was also another public, unclassified document, widely available with publicly named signatories, which are, of course, neoconservatives. Many of those names showed up in positions of influence in the... He certainly was. Doug Feith was involved in a number of the others.
He was advising Israel to go to war.
Advising
and the same
Israel.
Thing he's promoting, you know, then he gets in the Bush administration and attacks about the same countries. Iraq was the key for the clean break. So when he gets to the U.S. government, who's he promoting attack on but Iran? So, I mean, I must say, the communist spies in World War II, Alger Hiss and Harry Dexley, advised Joe Stalin. You know, the analogy would have been an advisor for Joseph Stalin became an advisor for Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That's what we have. But in this case, in the Israel case, and in the case of the Likud, and the neoconservative not so much network, but in the places where they hang out, in the policy institutions that they influence, it all is very, very public. And that's what I think is just the most ingenious about the way you've titled your book, because you're really kind of taking the air out of their balloon of any counterattacks that they might make to you, because you're just reporting the facts, I think, and that's what I think came through really clearly as I read the book.
Thanks for watching. Please subscribe and check out Tom's Representative Press channel. It's a channel you'll want to subscribe to as well. See the link in the video description.